Welcome, welcome. I'm glad you're here. My name is Bill, and I typically hang out at the Draper campus. You guys are talkers, man. That's good. That's good. I will say. All right, everybody sit down. Yes, here we go. I will say, you guys made my week last week because I taught here last week, and you were my, don't tell the Draper campuses, but you were my favorite group all weekend. Yes, last weekend you were my favorite group, so I was encouraged to come back here tonight. So we talked about God's will last week. We're going to talk about something different this week. You know the Verizon guy. He used to travel around. I think he switched companies, but he's with Sprint now. But he used to go around, and what would he say? Can you hear me now? He'd go all over the country, all over the place, and he would try to help us understand that you could connect with their phone system. And I do want you to know tonight that I believe that God is still crying out to you right now. He wants to connect with you, and he wants to know, can you hear me? And I believe you can hear from God. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight as we continue our You Asked For It series, Hearing from God. How do we hear from God? How do we know we've heard from God? What can I do to help prepare my heart to hear from God? That's what we're going to look at tonight. And the way I'm going to do it is I'm going to look at a couple different sections of verses. And this will be kind of fun to do it this way. I'm going to look at Matthew chapter 13, where we see the parable, the story with a point. That's what a parable is. Parable of the sower and the seed. Jesus tells this story, and he's got a point to it. It's also called the parable of the soils. Tonight I'm going to look at it more of the parable of our hearts. And what we're going to see in this parable, what we're going to draw out, is four different types of listening hearts. How is your heart when it comes to listening? Because I'm convinced that when we're asking the question, how do I hear from God, really what we're saying is my heart ready to listen to God? Because I believe hearing from God is really, at its core, a heart issue. And you're going to see that in our verses tonight. So we'll look at Matthew 13. We'll look at the four types of listeners that Jesus talks about. And overlaid on top of that, we're going to look at John chapter 6, where we're going to actually have practical examples of people that live out those four different types of listeners. In other words, we're going to see people that have hard hearts or stubborn hearts or soft hearts. So we're gonna overlay that story with Matthew chapter 13. So in John chapter 6, Jesus is teaching a hard topic. He's talking. He tells all these people after he fed them at the Sea of Galilee, 5,000 to 15,000 people. We're not sure exactly how many, but at least 5,000. And he feeds them, and then he tells them that I am the bread of life. And you have to come to me. I am the sustainer of life. I'm the one who gives life. And they didn't like that teaching. A lot of them didn't like that teaching. In fact, in one day, Jesus lost most of his ministry. He went from 5,000 to 15,000 people to 12 people overnight because they didn't like that teaching. Here's the thing. Here's my point. In John chapter 6, everybody heard the same message. Some people listened differently, though. And it all depends on our hearts. It all depends on our hearts. I like what G.K. Chesterton says. He says, there's a lot of difference between hearing and listening. So when we ask that question again, as I ponder that, how do I hear from God? Really, what we want to talk about, what I want to talk about, is listening to God. And what I found is that oftentimes when we're asking that question, because I ask that question, God, I want to hear from you, or I pray that God, I want to hear from you. Am I hearing from you? That's a good question. But what I found is that in reality, I don't typically have a hearing problem. I read the Bible, I pray, I listen to teachings, I take notes. I don't have a hearing problem, but sometimes I have a listening problem. I have a heart problem. I can hear something and it doesn't affect me at all. You know, somebody sitting next to me has a profound impact on their lives. That's a different type of listener. That's a heart issue, isn't it? We heard the same thing, but it affected us differently. God wants us to have a heart that is ready to hear, a soft heart. It says in James, as we begin here, James 1:19, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be" what? Say it with me. "Quick to listen." Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak and slow to become angry. This is an important thing that we need to learn when it comes to hearing from God, how to be a good listener, how to be a quick listener. And it kind of reminds me of the story of the little boy that was so excited. Something happened to him that day, and he was going to tell his dad the story, and dad got home from work, and he rattles off, the young boy rattles off this story so fast. He's so excited, and the dad says, son, calm down, slow down. I know you're excited, but I can't understand you. You're talking too quickly. To which the boy responded, "Oh, no, daddy, I'm not talking too quickly. You're listening too slowly." And that's what this verse says. We need to be quick to listen. How's your heart when it comes to listening? If you want to hear from God, then you need to have a soft, tender heart toward him, but oftentimes we don't. So that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at, are you hearing Jesus now? Four types of listeners. Jesus is asking you, in other words, can you hear me? Are you listening? What kind of heart do you have? Let's look at the four different types of hearts that we read about in Matthew 13, and then we're going to look at four, at the very end, we'll look at four practical steps that'll help you have a soft heart, okay? Ready to hear from God? Yes? Okay, let's pray. Let's ask God to help us. Lord, we need your help tonight. I thank you for the Westside Church here, and I thank you for the opportunity to speak and also to hear from you. I thank you, God, that you're so good. What a Savior, as we sang tonight. What a Savior we have. You're amazing. You're so good to us. And you're the King of Kings. You're the Lord of Lords. You created everything. There's nothing in the universe that you didn't create. You're so big, yet from heaven you say, "Can you hear me? Can you hear me? I'm speaking to you. Can you hear me? I want you to hear me. I'm trying to speak to you. Listen to me. Soften your heart. Position yourself to hear from me." And so the best way we know how, God, tonight, we say, "God, speak," because we're listening. And teach us how we can be better listeners. So when you speak, we hear you. Would you help us tonight? If that's your prayer, say amen. Amen. All right. We're going to look at four types of listeners. Just four types tonight. And we see this from Matthew chapter 13. Okay, I'm just going to read part of Matthew 13. It's not in your handout. It's in your Bible if you want to follow on, but I just want to read this part from verse 1 through 9 of chapter 13. It's the story of the parable, again, a story with a point that Jesus tells. Let me read it to you, and then we're going to study out. Jesus goes on to explain each type of heart, each type of listener. So I'll read you his parable, then the disciples say, "Explain it to us," so he does, and that's what we're going to study. But let me read this. Here's how he starts. He says, "That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake." That's the Sea of Galilee. I think he was in Capernaum at this point. "Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, 'A farmer went out to sow his seed, to plant seeds. As he was scattering the seeds, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up.'" That's the first. That's the hard-hearted listener, okay? That's the path is hard, and the seeds didn't go down, and the birds came and took it away. "As he was scattering some seeds," okay, and then verse 5, "some fell on the rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root." That's the second time, the shallow listener. Verse 7, "Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants." That's the third type, the cluttered heart, among the thorns. "Still other seed fell on good soil." And that's what we want to have our hearts be. On good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. And get this, he finishes by saying, "He who has ears, let him hear." Now, I doubt there was too many people in that audience that didn't have ears. What was he saying? Is your heart prepared? Is the soil of your heart prepared to actually listen, not just hear? He who has ears, let him hear. I've just spoken. He spoke to everybody, but we see different responses. Again, we'll look at Jesus' explanation for all these, and we'll also read in John chapter 9 and overlay some practical examples. So, let's look at the four types of listeners. Here's the first one, the hard-hearted listener. The hard-hearted listener. That's the seed that fell along the path that was taken up by the birds. So Jesus now is going to explain to us what he meant. All right, so in Matthew 13, in this particular section, I'm just going to use the Living Bible because I like in these few verses here. Jesus explains what the hard-hearted listener is. He says, "Now here is the explanation of the story I told you about the farmer planting grain. The hard path where some of the seeds fell represents the heart of a person who hears the good news about the kingdom and doesn't understand it, doesn't receive it. Then Satan comes and snatches away the seeds from his heart, snatches the word away from their heart. This is the hard-hearted listener." That's the first type that we see in Matthew 13. Do you have a hard heart? And here's what I want to do. I want to overlay that with a time when Jesus was preaching, like I mentioned, and he told everybody, "Hey, I am the bread of life." Let me just read part of this in John chapter 6 to set it up so we can overlay it over the top of these types of listeners. In John chapter 6, Jesus is preaching, and then he declared to this group of people, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and you still do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away." And then a little bit further it says, "At this the Jews began to grumble again about him, because he said, 'I am the bread of life, come down from heaven.' They said, 'Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I've come down from heaven'?' Jesus said, 'Stop grumbling among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It's written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me.'" See, it's about listening. It's about our heart. Then he continues, "No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. Here is the bread of life," pointing to himself, "that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Now, this was bothersome. This was troublesome for a lot of people. And we're going to see different responses. Keep in mind, just get the picture that, I think I had a picture here. Yeah, so you get a picture. Jesus is teaching a bunch of people. They all heard the same thing. Basically, "I'm the bread of life. You need to eat my flesh. You need to receive me." And they all heard the same thing, but they responded differently. Okay, what we're going to see first in this section is the hard heart. The hard heart is a proud heart. Again, you have some blanks in your handout. If you want to pull those out and follow along, there's a lot of verses I'm going to cover here. A hard heart, what we need to understand, is a proud heart. So the next verse, from what I just read, it says this, "Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, 'How can this man give us his flesh to eat?' Because their hearts were proud, they didn't understand what Jesus was saying. Jesus is saying, 'I am the giver of life, that life comes from me.' He wasn't saying, 'Come take a bite out of my forearm.' That's not what he was saying. But that's what they heard because their hearts, honestly, were proud. Zechariah also talks about the hard-hearted Israelite when he says they made their hearts as hard as flint and they would not listen. So a hard heart, the crux of a matter of hearing from God, listening to God, is a hard issue. It's a hard issue. If you don't hear from God, if you can't hear from God, it's a hard issue. So they made their hearts as hard as flint, and they would not listen to the law or to the words that the Lord Almighty had sent by his Spirit. You know, I have talked to a lot of people over the years. I can think of several examples. One example I think of someone with a hard heart, he's a gentleman that goes to the Draper Church. And when I first met with him, probably 8 months ago, he was fit to be tied. He was just, I'll just be very honest, he was very proud. He had a hard heart. And I'm sure he wouldn't mind me, I won't tell you his name, but he had a hard heart. He was very well educated, and he wanted to talk to me because he just felt like he should. Because this Christianity stuff is so stupid that I just need to sit with you and tell you how stupid and how dumb Christians look to me and to all my friends, and this is so real. How can you possibly believe any of this crap, is what he was basically saying to me. And we sat, and you know what's funny about guys like that, guys with proud hearts, is that oftentimes they really don't have a footing to stand on. They just heard a lot of these things from other people. They just buy it. They're rebellious against God. God's hurt them at some point. And so I talked to him, and I told him those. He gave me his questions. I said, those are really good questions. I listened. I answered some of his questions, but I could tell he didn't just want me to give pat answers. He wanted me to hear him. So I just listened. And by the time we were done, he's going, you know, I've never had Christians just listen to me. And his heart started softening. His wall started coming down. So the next time we met, I actually decided to answer some of his questions, and it wasn't very hard because the questions are, they're just the same questions you hear over and over. So I answered his questions, and he was genuinely touched. And God, I could just see God working. It was like the ice was melting off his heart. It started to drip, and it started to drip to the point where it wasn't long. Even after that second meeting, he was like, man, I think I need to give this Christianity stuff, this Christianity religion, some thought. And he did. And long story short, we met a couple more times, and he ended up praying to receive Christ, and in tears told me how he believed and he was willing to trust Christ. And his heart had just been a stone, and God softened that stone. And then he got baptized just a couple months ago, and God got hold of his heart. But you see, a hard heart is a proud heart, and God needs to break through those proud hearts. Is your heart proud tonight? Are you willing to listen to what God has to say to you? Or does it just bounce off that stony heart? You see, here's what happens. If you've got a proud heart, Jesus gives you the law to the proud-hearted. And this is just a little, I just want to throw this in here. We see in John, the story of John, we're going to flip back and forth now. We're flipping to John again, John 6. And Jesus said to these people that said, he wants us to eat his flesh. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, unless you eat my flesh, the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, you have no life in you. What I love about this is that Jesus doesn't back down at all. He doubles down. He does. He said, listen, you got to come to me. You got to come to me on my terms. You're proud. And so he just pushes right back. A proud person needs to have a little pushback. And with my friend in Draper, I did push back. And I said, there are answers to your questions. And I pushed back. And I told him he was stupid. He was talking about how Christians were stupid. At one point, we had the repertoire going. And I just said, you know, who's really stupid is anybody that doesn't believe this. Your friends are stupid and you're stupid. And he appreciated it. I'm just saying, I don't say that out of the chute, but as we got to know him, he appreciated that. And Jesus pushes back. Men and women, when you deal with proud people, or when God deals with our proud hearts, he often pushes back with the law. What do I mean by that? You can read it in the New Testament, test it over and over and over. Whenever somebody came to Jesus and they were proud and they had a hard heart, he gave them the law. When they were humble, he gave them grace. And God will still do that with you today. Grace to the humble, law to the proud. Think of it. When the woman of the well came to him, she was humble. And she didn't quite understand. Jesus didn't push the law at her. He just kept being gentle with her and trying to help her understand that he was the water of life. And when the centurion came to him and said, my son, can you come? And Jesus went and he gave him grace. Or the woman that touched his cloak, and he gave grace to her. But when the rich young ruler came and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What do I have to do? And Jesus, what did Jesus say? He gave him the law. He said, keep the commands. Don't murder, don't lie, don't steal. And the hard-hearted rich guy said, I've done all those. I'm worthy. I'm okay. I'm good. And Jesus said, oh, no, you're not. here's something you haven't done. Go sell everything you own and come follow me. You see, he pushes back against the hard-hearted. And he'll do that with you. He'll do that with me. The first type of listener is a hard-hearted person, a proud person. You won't hear from God, and he'll push back on you. So my question for you is your heart humble tonight, or is it proud? I tend toward the proud. That's what something I've struggled with my whole Christian life. God's had to work on my heart. He's had to work on my heart. And he can break through. And we can have periods of pride, but God wants to break through your life, okay? That's the first type of listener, is a hard-hearted listener. Here's the second type, and that is the shallow-hearted listener. Shallow heart. That's the seed that fell among the rocks. Fell among the rocks and didn't have much root, okay? Shallow. Jesus explains this part of the parable. He says, the one who received the seed that fell in the rocky places is the man who hears. He heard something. He heard the word. And at once receives it with joy. But since it has no root, it lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. So what we see with the shallow heart, with the shallow-hearted listener, is that they are easily offended by truth. And that happened in John. Again, we overlay the story of John, of the ones being upset about Jesus saying, I am the bread of life. They say, on hearing Jesus say, you got to eat my flesh, drink my blood, many of his disciples, those who followed Jesus, said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? In other words, I won't accept it. That's a shallow heart. You don't have your roots down deep if you're a shallow-hearted Christian. And that's what Jesus says here. The second type of listener is a shallow-hearted one. And they did leave him in droves. They didn't like what he was saying. They didn't understand it completely, but they didn't like it. And I just want you to know today, Christian, that here's the message that Jesus shares with all of us. For every one of us, here's his message, come follow me and die for me. That's a hard message. What do you do with that? That's a hard message to accept, but that's what he tells every one of us. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to do that? If not, then we will fall away when things get difficult. And to be honest with you, there are not a lot of churches that are preaching the way Jesus preached. And I'm not saying that we do the best job. I'm saying that in the culture at large, Christianity is becoming more and more just teach me and share with me what I want to hear. And pastors don't want to offend people with what the truth of the Bible is. Now, we're not supposed to be idiots in the way we share truth, for sure. We're gentle and we're understanding, but we do share truth, and it may offend. What are we going to do? We're going to run away? I know a lot of Christians that do. I know a lot of churches that are afraid to preach truth. In fact, I found this quote on a recent megachurch pastor's wife. I won't mention her name. You would know her if I told you her name or her last name anyway. This is a typical, I don't know if it's typical, but a lot of churches now, they're shying away from preaching hard truths. That Jesus is the only way, that you know that God created everything in six literal days, that God has standards, that God has played roles for men and women, and that he has set up our sexual identity, and he's made it very clear what he wants from us. People are afraid to preach that. This is what I thought it was an amazing quote. She said to this mega church on a Sunday morning, she just said this, I just want to encourage every one of us to realize when we obey God, we're not doing it for God. I mean, that's one way to look at it. We're doing it for ourselves because God takes pleasure when we're happy. That's the thing that gives him the greatest joy this morning. Just do good for yourself. Do good because God wants you to be happy. Amen? And I say, no, not amen. Jesus said this, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you'll have trouble. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Jesus preaches hard things, and if we have a shallow heart, a shallow listener, then we'll fall away. And we'll fall away. Jesus challenges the shallow-hearted. He'll challenge us if we're shallow-hearted. In John chapter 6, we'll continue on with that overlay. It says this, aware that the disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, hey, does this offend you? Are you offended by this? Then he says, what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. Are you offended by what I say? Listen, you are living a shallow life. You are living for your flesh, Jesus says. I have the words of life. And he knew they were going to fall away. Some were going to fall away. Listen, when we are shallow, I want to tell you something. Challenges will send us away. Hard things will send us away. And in this life, we'll have hard things. There are hard things happening to Christians all over the world today. Maybe not so much here in our country, but I think of the Center for Study of Global Christianity. They study martyrs around the world, and they say that on average, every year, 100,000 Christians die for their faith on our planet right now, which is 12 an hour, which by the time we're done here, over 15 people on average would have died for their faith. Shallow-hearted Christians don't typically die for their faith. In fact, I like what Paul Chappell said. He's a senior pastor in a big church in Minneapolis. He said, the devil doesn't persecute those who aren't making a godly difference in the world. If you don't have a strong heart, a listening heart toward God, then we may fall away. In fact, it says in Philippians 1, it says, for it has been granted to you and I, here's what's been granted to you and I, not only to believe on Christ, but also to what? To suffer with him. It's been granted, says Paul to the Philippians. We get to suffer with him as well. So my question on this point is simply this. Will you follow Jesus even when life is hard? Shallow-hearted Christians will not do that. Shallow-hearted listeners will not do that. Here's the third type of listener, the clutter-hearted listener. That's the seed that was thrown within the thorns. In Matthew 13, Jesus talks about the clutter-hearted listener and explains this part of the parable. He says, the one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears, again, they all heard, but how do you listen? Heard the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, choke it, making it unfruitful. The worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it. And this is so easy for us to relate to when it comes to our walk with Christ. When God says, Jesus says to us, I want you to give up your life and come follow me and die with me. We begin to worry, and I begin to worry, what about this, what about that? And if I'm following him, will I get taken care of? Will my money, my 401k, and all these things, I can worry about those type of things. I can personally worry about what people think about me, and the word can get choked, and I won't be as bold as I should be with God's word. If I'm worried, you see, a cluttered heart does not believe the truth. It doesn't believe the truth. In John chapter 6, back to our story, Jesus says, yet there are some of you who do not believe. You've heard me, but you don't believe. For Jesus had known from the very beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. Who betrayed Jesus? Judas did. He was there listening when he was giving this teaching, and he said, I know which one of you are going to fall away. I know which ones are going to betray me. They didn't believe me from the beginning. I've known this. Yet he loved Judas, a cluttered heart does not believe the truth. So there's people that we can hear what Jesus says, but we refuse to believe it because our hearts are filled with other things. And we need to guard against that. Jesus actually warns the clutter-hearted. He warns those who have other things that are vying for their attention and not listening to the word of God. In John 6, verse 65 through 66, Jesus went on to say, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him. From this time on, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Jesus warned them. He says right here, you're going to fall away if you have other things that are vying for your attention, for your loyalty. He warns them, and many of the disciples from that point on turned back. In fact, we know that all that was left were the 12. Out of the 5 to 15,000 people that were there for the meal and for the message, they left because their hearts were not receptive to the word of God. They were not good listeners. They heard, but they did not listen. They rejected the very words of God. Now, we can do the same thing. We don't have to have Jesus speaking directly to us. We have the Word of God. We have messages. We have songs. God speaks to us through prayer. And yet, we can reject the very words that Jesus speaks to us. And that would be a clutter-hearted listener. This is someone that was warned. Again, Jesus warns us that we will fall away if our hearts are cluttered. This is someone, Harry Randall Truman. John probably knows about this guy. He was an old fellow that lived close to Mount St. Helens in Washington in 1980 when Mount St. Helens was ready to blow up. The Park Service rangers went around warning everybody, hey, this bad boy's going to blow up. You need to get off the mountain. And this guy is pretty well known. They actually made a documentary about him. He refused to leave, and the mountain blew up, and he was killed instantly. But he was warned. Jesus warns us if we reject the words of Christ, if we reject Christ, we lose everything. We need to be careful. In our hearts, are we willing to give up everything to follow Jesus? Are you? Or is your heart cluttered with other things? Are there other things that are trying to get your attention, other things that have your heart? Here's the last type of heart, the good-hearted listener. The good-hearted listener. This is the kind of heart that we want to have. And we're going to talk about how to get that heart in just a second here. This is the seed that fell on the good soil. Jesus explains this part of the parable. He says, but the one who received the seed that fell on the good soil, the good heart, is the man who hears the word and understands it, or as he said, receives it. He produces a crop yielding 100 or 60 or 30 times what was sown. Now, I would take any of those for my personal investments. I would take 30%. How many of you would take a 30% gain on your investments? How about 60 or 100? We would take that. This is a good deal. We want this in our lives, men and women. We want to be ones that have good hearts, good soil. We want to be good listeners. We want to hear from God because that will multiply in our lives. We don't want to be a hard-hearted or shallow-hearted or clutter-hearted. We want to have a good, soft heart that hears from God. We do. And here's what we know. A good heart receives truth. That's what it says. The one who received the seed, not reject it, not let it just sit there or get taken away. We receive it. Jesus asks the crowd in John chapter 6. He says, you do not want to leave too. Actually, speaking to his disciples, he says, you do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asks the 12. And Simon, with a good heart, says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. You see, with the disciples, even though there were some, they still were puzzled by some of the things Jesus said, they trusted him. They received what he said. Peter says, where else are we going to go? You have the words of life. We will follow you. And the seed fell on good soil. And we know it's multiplied in the disciples' lives. A good heart receives truth. And Jesus chooses the good-hearted. He chooses you. Jesus chooses you. In John chapter 6, verse 70, then Jesus replied, have I not chosen you, the 12? You good-hearted. I've chosen you. And you have a good heart. This whole idea of chosen, when God calls us, when we hear his word, and especially as it relates to salvation, if you're not sure you're going to heaven tonight, if you're not sure that you're a Christian, that you've received the payment that Jesus offers you, you can settle it tonight. I'll give you a chance right at the end. You can settle it. You can choose God. You say, but I thought God chose me. Here's a little diagram I like to use. God calls us to make a decision, to have a good tender heart, soft heart that receives the word, receives what God says and doesn't reject it. When we receive that, one of the things he tells us, we need to come to him in faith and believe on him. Repent of our sins, turn to him in faith. In other words, we choose God. The cool thing is it about it is that once we choose God and we go through the gate, we come out the other side and we turn around the gate and now it says, chosen by God. You see, Jesus says, haven't I chosen you, the 12? He knows those who are his. Are you his tonight? If you're not sure, then I would suggest you choose tonight to make sure. Does that make sense? You have a good heart. You understand God loves you. He has died for you. He paid for your sins. He wants you to come to Him. Make a choice for God. And when you turn around, you'll see Jesus saying, I chose you. That's what you want to hear. Jesus chose you. Have you been chosen by God? Have you been chosen by Jesus? Do you have a good heart? Are you a good listener? Is there soil that God's word can go into? Those are the four types of listeners. Now, my last just 5 minutes here, I just want to go through the how to develop a soft listening heart. How do we do it practically? What do we need to do to develop a soft heart? And I like this verse. God brought this to my mind. In Ezekiel, it says this about our hearts. Listen, it says, I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone, and I will give them a heart of flesh. That's that good heart. That's that last category. A good heart, good soil that God's word can fall on. God promises He'll give that to you. And I love that. So how do we do it? Here's four quick tips on how to have a soft heart before God so that you can hear Him, so you can have a good listening heart. Number one, you need to be desperate before God. If you want to hear from God, you need to be desperate. You got to want to hear from God. You have to come to God. You have to position yourself under God desperately, saying, I need to hear from you. This is often my prayer before I come teach as I'm preparing. God, I'm desperate before. I need you to speak through me. This will make no sense if you don't show up. Desperate prayers. In 1 Chronicles, it says, devote your heart and soul to seeking the Lord your God. Are you desperate? A lot of times we think we are. If I ask you, do you pray? You'll probably say, yeah, and I'll say, when? You say, oh, I don't know, when I'm listening to K-Love, I guess I pray. A lot of people say that, and that's a good thing. K-Love's a great thing, but that is not the kind of prayer that we're talking about, desperate, devoted prayer. Jeremiah 29 says it this way, you will seek me and you'll find me, but this has a condition on it. You'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. When you seek me with all your heart. If you want to hear from God, you need to be desperate before God. Number two, if you want to hear from God, you need to be humble before God, as we've already talked about. Have a humble, not a proud heart. 2 Chronicles 7 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, if you'll humble yourself and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. You and I, we need to be humble before God. If we want to hear from Him, we need to be humble. If we want Him to hear our prayers, we need to be humble. Again, I love the Old Testament, and as you read it over and over, story after story, there's times when I'm reading the Old Testament. I've read it a lot of times, but it still always kind of hits me when I'm trying to think of some of the bad kings. Maybe it was Ahab, somebody that's really bad, like one of the worst kings, and whoever. You read it, and when they choose to humble themselves, even after God has pronounce judgment on them, and they got a hook in their nose, and they're being drugged to Babylon. And you think, good, they deserve that. They're kind of a wretch, and they're getting what they deserve. And then you read, and it almost catches me every time, but he humbled himself. Manasseh, that's what I was thinking of, but Manasseh, King Manasseh, humbled himself before the Lord. And it says the Lord relented. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. He's getting what he deserves. You can't let him off. And it says he humbled himself and God relented and he sent him back to his kingdom and he's more powerful than he was before. And God blessed him. God always responds to humility, men and women. Do you have a humble heart? If you want to hear God's voice, you have to be humble before God. Number three, you need to be quiet before God. And this is hard in our day and age, isn't it? We have voices everywhere, whether it's your phone, television, your computer, people. It doesn't matter. There's voices everywhere on the radio, in the car, our CDs. We have voices trying to get our attention. We need to learn how to be quiet. It's like Elijah learned on that mountain when he's running away from Ahab. It says, God showed up and said, after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And God was in the whisper. But oftentimes we won't hear the whisper. if we have other voices, we need to learn how to turn off the voices. Turn them off. In Psalm 46:10, it says, "Be still and know that I'm God." Be still. Have you had that practice of just getting away and being quiet with God? Maybe it's a long walk in the woods where you just stop. So even when I'm walking in the woods sometimes, I'll just stop and I'll just listen. God, even today as I was praying, I just stopped and said, "God, what do you want to say to me?" And it's hard, and I'm just quiet. Like God says, "Be quiet, Bill. Just shut up for a second. I want to speak to you." You got to learn how to be quiet if you want to hear God's whisper. Number four, last point. If you want to hear from God, you need to be obedient to God. You need to be willing to obey. Again, this is a hard issue. Listening and hearing from God is a hard issue. And Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey me. That's a hard issue. Deuteronomy says, "Take to heart all the words I have solemnly declared to you this day so that you may command your children to obey carefully all the words of the law. They are not just idle words for you. They are your life." Are you obedient? Again, if you love me, you will obey me. So be desperate before God. Be humble before God. Be quiet before God and be obedient if you want to hear from God. So my question on this point, can you hear God now? Do you have some tools that you can use to listen to God? Have you been able to analyze and understand where your heart's at when it comes to listening to God so that you can hear from Him? God wants to speak to you. Can you hear Him? What kind of heart do you have? Do you have a hard heart? A proud heart? Do you have a shallow heart where you're easily offended? You hear or you read the Bible, but you pick and choose that which you want to obey because you're shallow. Do you have a cluttered heart where you're worried about many things, where it chokes out God's word? Or do you have a good heart where you're going to produce much fruit? Listen, men and women, I believe God today is asking you, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for tonight. And I thank you that just like we've read tonight, that hearing from you is really a heart issue at the core. It's a listening problem. And our hearts can be so hardened and stony or shallow or over-concerned and worried about so many things that we don't actually hear from you. It blocks our ability to hear from you. And tonight, Lord, we realize that we need your help. First, we want to acknowledge that you are the bread of life, that there's no life apart from you. And Lord, for those that don't know for sure that they're going to heaven, those of you tonight that aren't 100% sure that if you die tonight, you'd be with Jesus forever in heaven, you're not convinced of that, you know about God, but you haven't made that decision, then you can make that decision tonight. You can say this to God quietly in your heart. You can say, "Lord, I understand that if I repent of my sins, turn away from all that is unholy and unrighteous and dishonors you, all the things that I've done in my life, if I turn away from that and I call out to you will save me and forgive me, and I thank you for that tonight." So the best way I know how, I just say yes to you. I just come to you in humility, position myself under you and say, "I'm done being proud. I need you. I believe that you are the bread of life who gives spiritual life, that through your death on the cross, you paid for all my sins. I trust in your death for my sins, and I receive the gift of eternal life right now the best way I know how. I say yes to you. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. Forgive me of my sins." Now, if that's your prayer tonight, with your heads bowed, I just want you to reach over and touch the person next to you. Just touch him on the hand or the leg. Just simply you're saying, "Hey, I prayed that prayer. I'm stepping toward Jesus. I need just a little help." You need to do that. We're all have our heads bowed here. Just reach over and touch them, and that person knows what you're saying. That's the best decision you'll ever make. And Lord, for the rest of us, help us soften our stony hearts. Help us fortify our weak, shallow hearts. Help us focus on you and not all the worries around us. Give us a soft, good, hungry heart for you. Thank you that only you can satisfy. Thank you that right now you are our daily bread. You are the very air that we breathe, and we give you our entire lives. Help us be ones that hear you when you speak. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.